Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Okay, we can do better than that. This is our second day together. I'm not new. Good morning. All right. I'm excited to be before you again. I'm glad to be here. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. If you have anything to be glad about today, if you would just clap your hands and let God know that you rejoice in Him allowing you, if nothing more than just to breathe right now, to have life right now, you have a reason to rejoice. I'm glad once again to be here. I'm thankful for the president for the invitation, the president of AASA for having me back again, to Dr. Rogers, to everyone who's gathered here today. I brought you a gift. I brought you a gift, and that gift is my wife. My wife is here with me today. Baby, stand up. This is my wife, made out of my rib. Now, we have education majors in the house. Any education majors in the house? All right, now anybody in here wants to be a special education teacher? Only one? Only one? Two? Three? Well, Karen, my wife, is the director of special ed for Richland District 1. So if you need an internship or anything, you need to get her business card before you leave. Now, don't y'all all now want to get business cards? Because I tell you what she does, but she is here, and I'm glad to have her here. I also have Minister Gail Coker, one of my sisters and co-laborers in the ministry, in the house, and so we're here. Yesterday, we began this two-day series called The Love Lessons, and yesterday we focused on John 13, 34, and we talked about the love dare. The question we wrestled with were, what were the challenges of loving like Christ? And if you remember, the first challenge was, it requires compassionate covering and cleaning. Then we said, it's contrary to current culture. And finally, we said that it calls for complete copying of Christ. That was yesterday. But we're going to push that envelope today, and we're going to read the next verse in that two-verse pairing. It says, John 13, 35 says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this all will know. So for the next couple of minutes, we're going to wrestle with the thought, the love litmus test. The love litmus test. A litmus test is a decisive type indicator, and it's given to truly and purely identify something. You can identify alkalines, bases, acids by a litmus test. But I believe that God gives us a litmus test to our Christianity based on this verse. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is John's gospel. Again, we dealt with it yesterday. John's gospel was not one of the synoptic gospels. It's written years afterwards, and it's written to an audience of Christians who have been spread to reaffirm the reason they became Christians. He reaffirms to them who Christ was. He gives a reminder of why they began in this Christian labor. And every now and then, I don't know about you, but I need a reminder of who Christ is. I know I'm not by myself. There are situations that come up. There are times that things happen. And I need a reminder of who Christ is. I've gotten myself in trouble before. I found myself in peculiar situations. And I needed John 8 to be reminded that Jesus writes in the sand when the woman was accused and said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I found myself thirsting, being longing and wanting for more. And I needed John 4, where he has this discussion with this woman by the well. And he tells her that the water I give, you will never thirst anymore. We just lost our daughter. We just lost our daughter on December 17th of 2016 in a tragic car accident. And it was at that time that I needed to find out in John 11 that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I needed to know that my baby will live again. So God wrote this. He allowed John to pen these verses to remind Christians that God is still in control, that Christ is still worth following. How many of you believe today that Christ is still worth following? I don't care what the news says. I don't care where they're bombing. I don't care what the resistance is. Christ is still worth following. So the question we're going to wrestle with is, what are the components of the love litmus test? What are the components of this love litmus test? Well, the first component is there is a decisive description. The first part of this verse says, by this all will know. By this. What is this? If you love one another as I have loved you, therefore you also love one another. That's how they'll know. That's the essence of this test. Do you love one another? Now let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say if I attend all my classes, they'll know. It doesn't say if I carry the biggest Bible to church, they'll know. It doesn't say if I dress in all the accoutrements of a Christian, cross, long skirt, prayer cloth. It doesn't say that will make me a Christian. But it says if I love. Doesn't matter how many times you attend Bible study. Doesn't matter how many languages of the historic writ you can speak fluently. That doesn't matter if you don't love. Okay, you don't believe me? I got you. I feel you. So I'm going to tell you what Paul wrote. Paul wrote this beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Now, I'm going to tell you why this is so funny, because when I was in seminary, I wrote this sermon from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 called The Nothingness of Love, based on a text that says, if I don't love, I'm nothing. And my professor looked at it and tore it up. He said, because this text ain't even about you loving. He says, go back and read chapter 12. So I went back and read chapter 12. And when you get home, read it for me. Beginning at verse number 24, it says this. It says, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members will suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, then all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body. And members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more perfect way. Didn't watch this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Did you catch that? Your pedigree doesn't make you Christian. Your position doesn't make you Christian. Your purchases don't make you Christian. But it's only your practice. If you don't love, you are not a Christian. Okay, y'all, quiet. I'm sorry. It's rough. Maybe you'll like the next one. So not only do you have a decisive description, but the second part of this love litmus test is there must be a desired designation. Says that you are my disciples. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And what he's saying basically is, it's good enough to not love if you're not following me. So you can be mediocre following Buddha. You can be mediocre following somebody else. You can be mediocre if you don't represent me, but because you represent me, there is a higher expectation I have of you. It's not good enough to just be average. It's not good enough to just be passe and to be laissez-faire. If you want to follow me, you better love one another. Now, the reality is many of us like the title of being Christian, but we don't like the task it takes to really be Christian. We like the fact that we can go to church and we can get certain benefits. If we ask people, are you a believer? And we ask them, are you a believer? And I'm a believer. And, you know, we wear these crosses and have these signs on our car. And all that is great. But have you ever met somebody, encountered them in the grocery store, and they were so nasty to you? And then you look down and they had a "What Would Jesus Do" bracelet on. Or you ever encountered somebody in your high school class? I know not here because everybody here, but in your high school class, that you were surprised to find out that they went to church, served on the usher board, might have even been a junior deacon. It's not good enough to just want the title. You must also fulfill the task. You must love. So you have a decisive description. Then there's a desired designation that you are my disciples. Just self-reflection for a second. In your last 24 hours, have you completely acted like one of Christ's disciples? I'm talking about every second of every minute of every hour. Did you act like one of Christ's disciples? I see you shaking your head. I understand. I didn't either. But that's what Christ desires. If you say you follow him, if we say we follow him, it's not good enough to just be average. Hold on. Because I know you're looking at me like, what is he talking about? Well, we are so bold in church to proudly pronounce that Ephesians 3:20, and now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Yet, we don't want to be that power. We don't want to be exceedingly and abundantly. We just want to be average. We're selective on how we show love. So I'll love you, but I won't love you. I'll love those who dress like me, who attend my church, but I won't love those of varying backgrounds, of varying belief systems, or varying practices. But he says, listen, if you're going to love like me, if they're going to know that you're my disciples, that means, hold on, that as his disciple, you are really his slave. You acknowledge that he died for you. He purchased your life at a cost. And so with that, you walk around with the stamp of him on you. Okay. I don't know if the president ever told you this, but when I was in school, they used to tell us to be careful about where we went with Morris College apparel on. So I went to Morris College in Sumter. They said, be careful, because when you go to these places, you represent us. Okay, that didn't work. Okay. When I was growing up, my mama would take me to the store and she would say, don't touch nothing, don't get in trouble, because if you get in trouble, you represent me. Christ is saying that when you go out into the world and when you encounter people and show them not love, you are badly reflecting on the him you say you serve. Oh, okay. Still didn't get it. No, that's fine. I got one more. So not only is there a decisive description and a desired designation, but the last piece of this litmus test is this. There is a definite demonstration. If you have love for one another, that's the test. The demonstration, so it's not just good enough to say it if you don't show it. Oh, okay, okay, okay. How many of you ever had a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Okay, okay. So only 7 people. All right, so, ooh. Well, how many of you ever want to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend? The reality is, and Karen is here, so she'll tell me the truth. Well, I'm not going to look at her. Don't look at her face either. There are moments when I have said I love you, but it was not backed up by evidence. And you can only love for so long with word only. Eventually, there must be some works. I'm just putting it out there. I know who's in love, but you can't say I love you. Even friends. Eventually, they're going to need you and you're going to have to show up. Eventually, they're going to have a question and they're going to call and you're going to have to answer the phone. You can't keep sending them to ignore. There must be a definite demonstration. You have to love. So, I'm about to get in trouble. And I'm glad. I probably won't come back. I know they wanted Sue to come back yesterday. They probably won't invite me back. You can't say you're Christian and leave people at airports unable to come back home. You can't say you're Christian and only acknowledge those who are well with your same philosophy and your same belief practices. When Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, the first person he encountered coming down was a leper. That's Matthew's account. That leper was ostracized by society. And he said, if you would heal me, Jesus did something in the presence of everyone that was unthinkable. Do you know what he did? He put his hand on the leper. Now, why is that so shocking? Because if you put your hand on the leper, by those customs, you became contaminated. But Jesus loved us so much to say, it don't matter how I am perceived. I must still demonstrate that I love you. And that's what I want to leave you today. It's not good enough for you to worry about how the world will view you if you welcome, if you show or demonstrate love to those who are the ostracized and the outcast. You do it because of who you believe. And who you're trying to impress is God. It don't matter what your friends say. It don't matter what your neighbors say, because they have no heaven nor Sheol to put you in. I corrected. I said Sheol. I did. Okay. So this is what blessed me, though. And I got 3 minutes and 28 seconds. So I'm going to wrap it up real fast. It says, if you have love for one another. Now, that has been an escape for many people who are English majors because they understand that there is another word you could put there. He doesn't say when, he says if. If suggests possibly. But if you put when there, it would suggest certainly. But then I went back to my English books because I did study English at one point in time. And it says that you can also use them interchangeably if it's either predicted or repeated. So in other words, what he was saying was not if it happens, because it's going to happen, but every time it happens, you need to show love. Okay, let me see if I can say that again. Not if it happens, but it's going to happen. So every time it happens, you must show love. Okay, so every time you encounter somebody nasty, you replace it with love. Every time you encounter somebody everybody else overlooks, you show love. Every time you look and see somebody walking down with their head down, tears on their face, you show love. Here's the final thought. If does not suggest optional, it inspires us to be intentional. We must choose to love. So here's my question for you. You've experienced the love dare. You've taken the love litmus test. Who will choose to love like Christ today? Now, we have photos of you. We have pictures, because remember, it's not just in what you say, It's in what you show. Let's give God a hand of praise. Join me in prayer, please. God, we thank you today. We thank you for your awesomeness. You're truly all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. You're completely sovereign. Nothing happens without your allowance or your command. So God, right now, as we stand in the chapel of Columbia International University, we pray a fresh anointing over everyone here. God, we pray that you gird them and guard them and fill them with your power so that they can be your demonstrative agents in this world, that everywhere they go, people will know that they follow you because they have love for one another. God, this is the love test. Please don't allow any of us to fail. It's in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.